Now, because it's an all-age service, there'll be a worksheet. So the stewards, just as soon as they've put the candles back, will come out with worksheets and pens on clipboards. So boys and girls, young people, make sure you grab a worksheet and listen well, because if you hand it to me when it's filled in afterwards, you'll get a prize, okay? A rather delicious prize, what we've got today. Lindt Lindor. So it's worth doing a worksheet for one of them, isn't it, I think? And then the leftovers, I think the adults will get at coffee time if you listen really well, right? So, I go to a gym called TNT Gym in Portman Road, near Red Kangaroo and Kingdom Coffee. And when I was in the gym the other day, I got out my phone and I took a selfie of my arm, and and that wasn't it. But seriously, there are many guys in my gym who have arms just like that. I'm not joking, they are way thicker than my thigh. It's that kind of gym. But they're very friendly, and that's why I go there. So it's a fantastic gym, really. But it's interesting, because in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 to 11, that Gregory read. Thank you, Gregory. That was really good reading, by the way. Thank you for that. In that passage, God's arms get described. So we're going to find out what God's arms are like. And also, what's that got to do with Advent and Christmas? So let's think about this passage, Isaiah 40, 9 to 11. It begins with an announcement. I wonder whether you've ever heard an announcement in public given which fills you with excitement and joy. Maybe you've been saving up over many years for a holiday, your dream holiday, and finally you're on the plane on the tarmac and the pilot has just announced that there's going to be a big delay. And there is a big delay, and you're waiting there, and half an hour becomes an hour, and then it becomes an hour and a half, and then 2 hours, and then the kids are starting to get restless and screaming, and you're starting to get a headache, and the person next to you is sick, and you're thinking, oh no, and you're just waiting, and the plane's going nowhere, and then there's a little crackle and a buzz, and the pilot says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that we have been cleared for takeoff, and we're going to taxi onto the runway. And there's a cheer. Maybe you've actually been in this scenario like that, because finally, after all that waiting, the holiday is coming, away from the gloomy weather of Britain to the sunny weather of wherever. Maybe you've had an announcement like that. For me, I can remember an announcement in public that filled me with joy and excitement. Boys and girls, it was when I was the same age as some of you, and I woke up and it was snowing. So I went straight downstairs and turned on the radio. And in between the songs, there was like the news and then some announcements. And I was waiting because I knew that my headmaster maybe had rang up the radio station to pass on a message to the radio broadcasters. And there it was. Ashton Middle School will be closed because of the snow. Yes! That filled me with joy and happiness. And maybe you remember that kind of announcement from your time at school. Well, the announcement in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9 is so brilliant that it's to be shouted from the mountaintops. That's how fantastic this announcement is. It's a big one. I suppose the 21st equivalent today would be if the government had a really important announcement of some kind, then it would be everywhere. There would be it would be on TV, it would be a double spread page in the newspapers, it would be all over the internet and social media, it would be on billboards, there'd be posters, there'd be flyers through your door. It's that kind of announcement that everyone should hear because it's so good. So what's this announcement about? Well, it's an announcement about good news and more good news. And the good news is your God is coming. I wonder whether you've ever received news so good that it makes you want to scream and shout and dance. My wife Claire received a message like that, news like that, a few years ago. She got an email from Disney, and the email said, "You have won an all expenses paid to holiday to Hollywood, and you're going to go to Disneyland in Hollywood, and ring this number." And at first, she kind of thought that it was going to be like a hoax, you know, one of these spam emails, but she thought it was worth ringing the number, so she did, and the guy on the other end said, yes, It's genuine, it's real. When you bought cinema tickets to see Monsters University online, you were automatically entered into a prize draw, and you've won this free holiday to Hollywood. Everything paid, flights paid, hotel paid, a trip to Disneyland paid. And that was our family holiday that year. It was incredible. We couldn't believe it. And I think you screamed, didn't you? Because it was such an amazing announcement. Oh, it is, isn't it? And I read about a couple, it was in the newspapers, I think, a week or two ago, who received some really, really, really good news. This is the headline. Couple win Euro Millions same day, wife gets all clear after breast cancer diagnosis. That's a lot of good news in one go, isn't it? Isn't that an incredible piece of news, or two pieces of news to receive? But the news in our Bible passage is better than this, because it's about a king who's coming, who can offer much, much more than a free holiday, than lots of money, than even good health. Much, much more than that. Who is this king who's offering so much? Well, the clue is in those two phrases in the passage. Good news and here is your God that we looked at a second ago. Those two phrases take us out of this passage and point us forwards into a couple of passages in the New Testament. There it is. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Good news worth shouting about. A Saviour has been born, Christ the Lord. What's that Saviour like? Well, Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 tells us, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Good news, here is your God. Those two phrases point us to those two passages in the New Testament. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, the Saviour, the one who's came to rescue his people. So Isaiah 40, 9 to 11 is this announcement pointing forwards to Jesus' birth. And that's why we're studying this passage for the first Sunday of Advent. But what is Jesus like? He's a king, he's the Saviour, but what is he like? Well, the next two verses of Isaiah 40 tell us. He's pictured here as hyper-powerful. So on your sheet, boys and girls, I think this is one of the questions. Look at all the power words in this passage. See, the sovereign Lord comes. Sovereign means in control of everything. How does he come? He comes with power. And what does he do? He rules. Clearly a king. And how does he rule? With a mighty arm. This is the description. I told you we're going to learn about God's arms. This reminds us of God's powerful arms. Doesn't mean he literally has bulging muscles like this guy, but it means he's powerful. It's a way of describing his might. See, his reward is with him. The reward is the victory he's won over his enemies. This is military language, this verse. This is talking about a conquering king who's won a massive victory. And his recompense accompanies him. His recompense means the people he's won the victory for. And that's us. Because this is about Jesus, he's won the victory for us. If we're his people, if we're Christians, if we've put our faith in him. This verse is absolutely bulging with power. He is the mighty saviour, warrior, conquering king. Because he's won a victory that no other general, no other military leader has. If you know your military history, I'm sure you're aware of lots of very impressive generals who won these amazing wars or battles, and they've gone down in history as the greatest military leaders of all time. But none of them has ever achieved anything like Jesus did. Because he achieved a victory over death and sin, over Satan and hell. And no one has done that. No military leader has died, but then come back from death, thus proving they've achieved a victory over it. So that's why Jesus is powerful. He's got this mighty arm. But there's something else about his arm that also teaches us what he's like. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Another description of God's arm here. He uses his arms to care for his people, especially the weaker ones. Boys and girls, look at your sheet. There's a question here from here. He gathers the lambs in his arms. This wonderful picture of this tender carrying of the little ones, of his people. And I love that. Jesus' arms are both powerful and tender. There's a brilliant contrast in these verses. And just look at the fantastic verbs and adjectives in this passage. Tend, gather, carry close, gently lead. So Jesus, this is telling us, Jesus is coming as a conquering king, but also as a gentle shepherd who protects his people. Such a great contrast, so reassuring. Powerful but gentle, gentle but powerful and capable. And it reminds me of a scene from the movie The Iron Giant. So this film has a massively powerful giant made from, yeah, you've guessed it, iron. And in the clip that we're going to look at now, watch carefully to see how tender and protective he is despite his massive power. How he rushes to save them, tenderly rescues them in his hands with his mighty arms and brings them back to their dad. His mighty power is used to gently save them. His power is all geared towards them, but not harming them, but helping them. And of course, that reminds us of Jesus. He's gentle. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Be gentle with us, especially when we're struggling, especially when life's difficult, especially when our mental health is fragile and we feel we can't cope with things, especially when we're unwell and we just don't feel we've got enough energy to pray or read the Bible, especially when we feel absolutely overwhelmed by the pressures of life, pressures of holding down a job and doing all the things that modern life demands. He's gentle with us, especially when we fail. He gently forgives us so that when we fail, we can forgive ourselves so that we can move on and cope with failure. He's gentle. He's not always putting us under pressure to perform like you're in some kind of Christian version of The Apprentice and he's some kind of Christian Alan Sugar and he's going to fire you if you don't perform well at being a Christian. It's not like that at all. Not like that at all. He's gentle with us. He understands our struggles and our weaknesses. I wonder, do you feel weak? Do you feel afraid? Boys and girls, in a world full of adults, do you feel unimportant sometimes? Does anyone here feel like they're not worth very much because they haven't accomplished very much in their life? Be comforted and be reassured. You're the lamb. He's the strong shepherd. That's the picture we're getting here. He tends you. He sees to it that you're protected and helped. He carries you close to his heart. That's how he feels about you. You're close to his heart. And notice the last line here. I think that's really important and very encouraging to those of us who are caring for people and have responsibilities for people. Perhaps you have responsibilities for your own children, for your elderly parents, for your friends who are struggling. He knows what it's like. He knows that that's hard. And so he, as it says, gently leads you. He knows what the pressure is of looking after young children or looking after people who are demanding. And he'll give you the strength to do that. Well, I think all this is good news that's worth shouting about, isn't it? I mean, here is your God, the passage says. And we've seen what God is like. We've seen his arms, how mighty they are. We've seen how he is the powerful saviour. And he is the tender shepherd. So let me encourage you, church, as we enter Advent and come up to Christmas, let's tell people about this Saviour, this amazing Saviour who came, who is so tender yet so powerful. Let's invite people to the carol services. We've got the flyers already. Let's think about who it is that we could share the gospel with. Let's ask and pray specifically to God, please give me an opportunity this week with my friend, work colleague, neighbour, whoever it is. This news is too good to keep quiet about, isn't it? Jesus came to save us, but then he continues to tend us, to look after us, to keep us close to his heart. That's brilliant. And I want to finish by saying this. Have you put your trust in him? If you haven't already done so, can I encourage you to do so? Because he's the gentle Saviour. There's no one like him. He's the only one who conquered death. Look at all of the famous people, all of the world leaders, the religious leaders. They all died. Jesus died and then came back. And that's why he's unique. And that's why he's powerful. And that's why you should put your trust in him. No one else has the power to lead you safely through your death and then bring you to heaven. That's the guarantee we have when we come to him and we say, Jesus, I've sinned. I've broken your commands. Please forgive me. I believe in you that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you have the power to forgive me and save me from the punishment of hell. That's what happens. We're guaranteed we go to heaven. So if you haven't already done so, this, as we start Advent, as we look forward to the Saviour coming and celebrate that, make sure that you've put your trust in him.